mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 420. I'm Adam, and it's been so long since I watched Data Decay that I completely forgotten about a quote. But State of Decay is a quote from State of Decay, so I'm going to go with that one. And here's Debbie Melrose.
You wouldn't have any cheese, would you?
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan. But hopefully if somebody can find out the number that needs to activate his on-call phone, it might just end up being me and Deb.
You are in the resting place.
And only for that sort of attitude. Yes, finally we get to State of Decay after Andrew Smith decided to get in the way of last week's episode.
He wasn't in the way. That was fun.
Right, so...
And Mary, unfortunately, is not with us today due to feeling a bit unwell, like I was last week, so we hope she feels better soon.
Yes, indeed. But we did say we'd do it by hook or by crook this week.
We did.
We could have had Mary last week and just done the episode, couldn't we, Kirby?
Yeah.
Anyway, State of Decay.
It's the intro music, Kirby.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm playing with it. State of Decay by Terence Dicks, which is, of course, a rather sort of almost... What's the word for it? Serendipic. Is that a word?
No. I don't know, but it
serendipitous.
Because of his recent death.
Yes,
okay.
We're doing one of his rare actual screen stories. He didn't do a lot of screen stories for Doctor Who. Read a lot of books, but this
I'm
is one.
I'm biased. This is one of my all-time favourites.
Oh, that's it then. So Kirby, what did you think of it?
Yeah, that's it.
So, yes, the story begins with a shot of some chaps and chapettes with very sort of, well, with crowns and daft makeup and, gothicness. Because I did that, I went back to the beginning and, I said, you know, so what do you think of it, Kirby? The thing went back to the beginning and I'm waiting for it to go back to the spot it was on when I was trying to get to the bit I was going to talk about. Anyway, where do we get up? Yeah, so we start with the opening shot of a very phallic-looking object sticking out of the ground.
It's a spaceship, obviously.
Which looks blatantly like a spaceship.
It's blatantly a spaceship.
In fact, it looks like Thunderbird 4. And inside, well, we presume it's inside because the camera's zooming into it, is some regal-looking gothic people and wearing some sort of weird eye makeup. And then we cut to a sort of peasant's house where some people get chosen to go to the castle. And
you would think they would revolt.
They look a bit revolting, actually, don't they?
Yes.
They're trying to revolt very quietly in the forest.
Oh, good grief. Anyway, so they take some people from this. I'm surprised there's so many people left in the village to take, actually, considering the amount of the appetite that the people have in the castle. It's not a castle, it's a ship, isn't it? Meanwhile, we cut back to the interior of the TARDIS, a la TARDIS console room. Adric is currently stowed away somewhere within the TARDIS.
With the very, very obvious... I can't get over the fact that in modern-day DVDs and Blu-rays, you can see how much of the TARDIS console is wood.
Well, are you talking about because you're getting the pre-broadcast quality video? Yes. So when it went on TV, there would have been a dip in quality due to the airwaves and the resolution of people's TV screens.
I've been trying to explain that to Isla because we always go around to my friend Julie's house on Sunday morning and their Saturday kitchen is on and it's all Best Bites. And the way that some of the older footage, like the Keith Floyd stuff from the 80s, and she's like, why does everything look like sick? What's with the colour? Why is it grainy? And it's like, well, this is what it used to be like.
It didn't really used to be like that because our TV screens were a lot smaller in those days. And exactly. We were satisfied a lot better with what we had.
Just the 3 or 4 channels.
But to a degree. And lots of videotapes. And it still will always be, actually, that when people have a video recording, even if it's done on the phone, they call it a VT. Well, it isn't a blooming VT. It's just a V, isn't it? A VF, yeah. More or less. Video file. But they still call it VT, and it's not on tape anymore.
I refuse to use the term taping nowadays.
Ian Kirk has corrected us. Rocket looks like Thunderbird 1. 4 was the little submarine.
Oh, thank you very much. At least someone's listening. That was just a tester to see if anyone was listening. And so, well done, Ian. Ian could have just said, I'm listening. That would have covered that one quite well. Yes, Thunderbird 1. But, yeah, it did look a bit like Thunderbird 1. Anyway, back to the TARDIS console room. They're still trying to fathom where they are, you know, how to get back to normal space, or end space, as the Doctor calls it. Tom Baker himself needs a bit of a haircut, because his hair really is all over the place. It's gone from curly to wavy. Oh, good grief. Yes.
This is during the period where he was having the health issues, I'm sure.
I know Mary that. I know. Lillian Robin says hi. And then TARDIS, K-9 sort of glides into shot and has a short conversation with the Doctor while we see some exterior shots of the TARDIS, which eventually materializes in a wood. And they get a telescope out and start looking at the scenery, and they see Thunderbird 1 on the horizon. And, of course, K-9's told to stay again. Just as the Doctor and Romana exit the TARDIS, Adric starts skulking through the corridors and has a short conversation with K-9 and easily confuses K-9.
K-9, doesn't he?
He what?
He out-logics K-9 with the fact that, well, he shouldn't be there, should he? You know?
But that was very similar to Sharda, when the Doctor out-logicked the computer. Do you remember? No?
Okay, fine.
Wasn't that long ago we watched Sharda, Debbie. I'm quite disappointed. Right then, so the Doctor and Romana arrive in the sort of, what would you call that sort of place where all the hermits live?
Village.
That was a village, is it?
It's kind of a village, isn't it? They call you're not from the village or from the tower, is what they say at one point.
Yeah.
I am not a number.
Considering that they're all hermits or whatever, the beards are quite pristine, to be fair. They look like they've been stuck on with glue and oh, they have.
Master.
What? Yes.
In the info text, they mentioned that this particular season is pretty much the hairiest season on Doctor Who, with most male characters having beards of some sort.
Okay. Anyway, so it's quite funny because once the Doctor and Romana sort of exit, the chap with the beard gets his radio out and starts talking to his people within Thunderbird 1. And Adric gets the opportunity to sneak out of the TARDIS and try and find the Doctor and Romana. And the Doctor and Romana find some scientists. And he knows he's a scientist because he's got some weird string going around his head.
Are you a scientist like me?
Yeah. Alan T. Butcher said, I've just fed back from the Grand Hotel in Brighton. There you go. I thought that was a conservative conference venue, actually, not a Labour one. Maybe he's just there because he's staying at the Grand Hotel. Yes.
As I keep balding, I may just grow my hair out and braid it like that.
Okay, Kirby, you go for that.
Braid it over. It's a braid over. It's not a comb over. It's a braid over.
Anyway, so Adric sort of makes his way into the same sort of place, Hermitsville, as the Doctor and Romana are in quite recently. It does actually look quite the same as the place that Doctor and Romana are at, sorting out the talking to the scientists. But anyway, Adric is sort of dressed with a cape or a coat to make him fit into Hobbit land. Oh.
Because they're missing their son, and now Adric is their substitute son.
Yes, indeed. The Doctor sort of gains access to a computer, which Romana reads off all the crew.
No, he
manifest.
Gains access to CFAX.
Whatever. Yes. and the Romana accesses the crew manifest, and they start obviously. Now we know straight away that the people on the ship are in fact. either descended from, as it's implied in this episode, or are actually the same crew that were in the original manifest. And then the Doctor and Romana go back into the woods and get attacked by a load of bats. Very scary. End of episode one.
With a weird business about how Tom Baker wanted to show blue blood for Time Lords, and J&T was going, no.
Come on, dude.
You do get a scene where you see very dark blood on his neck.
Because it was quite dark. I do like the shot of the bats, you know, the sort of swarming in a spiral sort of formation. That was quite nice. It's probably birds.
Yes, they're birds. And the info text tells you exactly what BBC documentary all those scenes come from. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. This blood thing, anyway, we've already seen in previous episodes of Doctor Who that the Doctor had red blood anyway, so it's pointless.
Yes, exactly. I'm not sure why he got strange like that, but...
So, the Doctor and Romana enter the castle ship thingy and meet a couple of the, obviously what we soon find out to be vampires, especially when Romana accidentally cuts her thumb and or finger or what was it, and they get a bit excited about it. Oh God, yes.
In the previous episode, they made a big deal about the peasants not knowing what cheese is, and yet there's a whole plate of cheese.
Yes. Like, okay. Where did they get that from?
Someone had to have made it.
Never mind. Anyway, Orcon.
Wait a second. Why is all this food here? Is it for the guards? Because the vampires don't eat.
I'm really tired. I don't know. Anyway, Orcon marches into the hut and decides to, I think almost decides to take Adric with him.
Yes, he walks in broad daylight. He must not be a vampire.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Kirby, I have a feeling you're being a bit horrible to Mr. Dix. I don't think you're allowed to be.
No.
I think that is new.
Actually, my opinion of this story has changed completely since we last talked about it.
Even though you've slated two instances of
continuity. Yeah, but the cheese thing was hysterical. What's cheese? Oh, look,
no, it's not
about
the cheese. It's about the Orcon, who's supposed to be a vampire, walking into a village in broad daylight.
No, it's just a continuity error.
No, I agree that you are correct, but you're having...
But there's nothing actually implied that they have to get in before it gets dark, before dawn arrives. They don't say anything like that through this.
Well argued, Debbie. Yeah. And I'm going to hit the bell with my wand. So I can't be bothered to press it. Right, so the Doctor and Romana look really cool when they're sat in the thrones while they're having a little confab, and they have a poke around and start finding little bits of evidence that it's a ship. And Orcon brings Adric to the others. He's a bit sort of possessed at this stage. And obviously they're thinking about Din-Dins. And then they think, hang on, this... could be more useful another way. Surprise, surprise, when it's a regular cast member, they could always be more useful in other ways. Were you about to say something, Kirby?
Nope.
No? Okay, good.
I will point out that
this episode, we've
completely...
This thing's gone to sleep again. I get fed up with this stupid machine. Right, I'm going to press this button.
I'm not asleep.
I'll be quiet. I'm having issues. I'm fed up with these speakers that just turn themselves off after a short period of time. Anyway, so the Doctor starts...
Master?
Oh, no.
I was trying to say when the speakers cut out...
Yes.
By this point, we're in episode two. Episode one made a big deal multiple times about the wasting.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that was a big thing in one of the early drafts, and it got forgotten.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, because they do mention it, and then it just dies. It's like, what is it?
That's a shame. Then, again, continuity or a script editing error. Christopher H. Bidmead. Anyway, so...
Christopher Hamilton Bidmead. Oh,
very clever. So the Doctor and Romana find the bridge and realise that the ship could actually still work.
Master?
Oh, no.
The bridge for the original ship is the throne room. Those are... That's one of the control cabins of the three little scout ships.
Yeah. Thank you. Just testing you guys to make sure we're paying attention. Jeff Waddle says, nice T-shirt. I did forget when I came downstairs from going to the toilet that my T-shirt is actually on back to front at the moment. But yes, it is a nice T-shirt. Anyway, so they find the larder and some blood and realise that, the position they're in is not particularly good. And then Orkon turns up and gets all menacing.
Lala Ward did not like the corpses in that scene.
Didn't she? Well, not real.
So she thought they were way too scary.
Oh, really? Isla didn't mind them.
Hmm?
Isla didn't mind them.
I didn't mind them either.
They deliberately didn't look at them as closely as that was originally going to be done.
Okay. Anyway, so instead of killing or eating Romana and the Doctor, they lock them up. Obviously, because they're regular cast members, they didn't really want to be killing them in the story. But if had they just been cast members for this story, they would probably have been eaten or something like that.
But Master!
Yes?
You completely bypassed the great interplay between Akon and the Doctor as they're gesturing at each other and so much... I loved how the Doctor was deliberately echoing Akon's... Oops, I said echo.
Amazon echoes
Titus. Echo. Stop. Anyway, how the Doctor is imitating Akon's gestures back at him very deliberately. I just love that scene.
Yeah, but there's also the scene where Romana picks up a stalagmite, is it?
Right.
Tight. Well, I knew you'd get that one wrong. And is going to use it as a weapon, but Orkon sort of sees it and controls it and stuff like that. Anyway, but it was very interesting.
And that's a really, really neat...
Yeah, and also I knew full well CSO. You were going to talk about it. So... there's lots of strange hand movements going on between some of the vampires while they're having a little confab with each other.
The hand washing scene, that's brilliant.
Yes. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Romana are still banged up and the scientists are still plotting. And then is it the bloke who initially had, he was sending the people, in to be eaten. Doesn't he sort of change his mind, decide to sort of join the cause? And
No, he doesn't.
Does he not? Okay.
He just says he tried to help, but he can't really help, and he can't do anything. And then at the end, he gets killed.
Well, quite rightly so. Anyway, so the Romana gets. Because a couple of the peasants dress up as guards, don't they? Yes.
But one peasant.
No,
does.
One peasant.
That's right. Yeah. And doesn't that peasant release?
But everybody recognises him as being. Yeah, he gets recognised everywhere he goes though as being the traitor. I can't remember what his name is.
Oh right, okay.
And also the guard that he knocks out. In the hallway is the last time we see Stuart Fell.
Yeah, I thought it might be. I did actually recognise Stuart Fell, and I thought, I wonder if that's one of his last appearances. Aww. That's quite a sad moment. Okay, yes. Maybe it isn't. Anyway, so while
it is.
Thank you. While Romana and the treacherous one, did you say? I can't remember his name was now. What was it? What did you call him? The guard.
I can't remember. Something the traitor.
Something the traitor. Well, yeah, I thought it was something the traitor. Anyway, the Doctor goes back to the TARDIS and has a word with K-9. And then my thing stopped again. Here we go. And I don't really see what that point of that was. Oh, yeah, and then there's a readout of something or other, and then he realises what's going on, and Adric wakes up after a little poke from Romana, and there's a little bit of a scuffle goes on in the sacrificial room, and then Romana gets grabbed. But not for long. Actually, the lead-ins to these episodes aren't as bad as some of the lead-ins we've had in Series 18 so far. They're not as long. So
that's because this story is dates back further and has they had a long time to work on it.
Yeah, I know. It was set, and wasn't it set around the times of Wen Chiang and that sort of stuff.
Yes,
and
it was originally supposed to be a Leela story.
Yeah. So anyway, the Doctor's still working things out while chatting to K-9, and he goes back to see the scientists, and I think they realizes that there was always talks about the only way he can kill the vampires with a stake through the heart, and of course we find out that there's a creature underground, Debbie.
There's a hand.
Ground. Isla kept saying to me, "Is that a heartbeat, Mummy? Is that I can hear a heartbeat."
Interesting.
She was so.
I love, Master.
Yes.
I love that. This is the only scene. This is the only story where you actually see K-9 go over the doorway of the TARDIS as he exits the TARDIS.
Well, there you go, Kirby. Laurie Nick said you were wearing that last time in reference to my T-shirt. Yes, it just so happens, but just by chance,
it's on the weekly
this time
page.
Last week I was wearing this T-shirt. It's just that I wear black T-shirts underneath my work shirt because you're only allowed to wear black things underneath your uniform because it can't
but
show up.
It's your
up.
Weekly rotation, isn't it?
No, it just so happens I grabbed this one this morning. Yeah, it's just by chance. Sorry, God. Anyway, so just moving forward a little bit. And then a battle ensues, and the plan is to paraphrase a little bit. I just noticed that Romana gets possessed. There seems to be a lot of people getting possessed in this thing. Or is she pretending? No, she is possessed because Adric's trying to talk to her, and she's taking no notice of her.
Yes, she's possessed.
Yeah. And then, like
hypnotized,
I said,
not possessed.
Well, okay, hypnotized. Anyway, a battle ensues, and the Doctor plans to fly the spaceship up in the air and crash it into the creature within.
Whichever one he can get working.
I think Romana gets rescued just in the nick of time. And, and then the crew of the spaceship age very, very quickly.
You sound like you're not that
very,
excited.
Very, very scarily. I beg your pardon?
You sound like you're not that excited about this one.
Very, very scarily, and then they die.
Master?
Yes?
The crumbling effect was wonderfully done. It was originally used in the BBC version of Dracula with Frank Langella.
Oh, was it?
The same person did the effects.
Okay. Thank you. So anyway, so yeah, that's... And then, of course, Adric is officially welcomed into the team in the TARDIS.
So far, I'm liking Adric.
So am I. End of episode 4. So there you go. That's State of Decay. Well, I'm afraid because of the fact that Terence Dix is the writer of this story, you're not allowed to not like it. Simple as that. It is now a Doctor Who law that you are not allowed to
okay,
not
if someone
like
passes,
this story.
We're not allowed to dislike
but that in mind, it is very good anyway. It's certainly the best story of Series 18. It's very atmospheric.
Yes.
The acting, they're all up to chewing the scenery. Their acting is very much like it's a stage show, a theatre acting performance, you know. I think they did a great job in the small amount of sets they had to sort of make this feel like a real scene. I know that obviously the spaceship looked obviously like a spaceship, but that didn't bother me either. I think it was, like you say, they had a lot of time to put this together, which in some ways the little indiscretions you talked about earlier, Kirby, disappoint me with the mentions of certain things that just disappeared in the latter part of the story.
I'll say that about the best stories. I even said that about City of Death.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but they had a long time to sort this one out, and you would have thought somebody would have spotted that. What would you call the thing that they forgot that was still in the script?
Wasting?
The wasting, that's it, yeah. So that was a bit disappointing, knowing how long they had to put this together, that was still in there. And certain errors like Debbie said, there was no mention that they couldn't walk in daylight, although it would have been nice and quite cool.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because everything else was classic vampire,
yeah,
except for that.
Okay, well, maybe that's because they're just aliens, alien vampires. I don't know. But anyway, but they kept the stake through the heart thing, didn't they? So, yeah, I suppose it would have made sense. But there you go. But, yeah, it's a really, really good story. Certainly the best one of Series 18 and probably the best Doctor Who story we've had since, I'd say, City of Death, to be fair. So what did you think of it then, Kirby?
I have done a complete 180 on this in the 5 years since I first saw it.
No, I'm going to sit back in my creaky chair, my new creaky chair.
I remember when we first discussed this one, this was the very first of the eSpace stories I had seen. I watched eSpace in the wrong order to begin with.
So did I.
And when we first spoke about this one, I had only seen it once, just in time to discuss it on the podcast. And I was really irritated by things which I now love about it, including the stylistic acting, like the hand washing scene and Akon and the doctor imitating, not ECHO, the Alcon's actions, and the Hammer horror-ness about it, if that's a word. And this one is really, really good. I agree, it is my favorite of this period. And it really, it stands out as not really being an eSpace story, because it wasn't until it was kind of stuck in there. It's much different from every other story this season, and the better for it.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I do admit I haven't seen a couple of stories this season, so we're going to be getting some that it's going to be my first watching coming up.
Okay, good.
Well, no, actually one, Keeper of Trocken, I've never seen.
Okay, good.
And I kind of like Legopolis, but... So, yeah. Okay.
Jeff Wardle says Lala Ward was in Vampire Circus, a cracking hammer horror film.
That's right.
That's much better, he says. Oh, okay. Excuse me. So, Debbie, what did you think?
Are we keeping you awake?
I am very tired.
Probably.
I have had a cup of tea, which could keep me going for a bit. What did you think then, Deb?
I love this one, as you know. Very old favourite of mine. This was my dad bought this for me on cassette years and years and years ago, and I'm pretty sure it was dad who bought it for me. And it was Tom Baker reading Terence Dick's books, basically, you know. And it was fantastic. It really pulled me into as a story. And then when I eventually saw it, it was just so great. And you know, the actors playing the vampires were just so over the top. They were amazing. And I was watching them sort of with a bit of, like, you know, tongue in cheek watching them, because they were hamming it up so wonderfully. But Isla was so sucked in, because this is the first time she's seen this one. She's heard the cassette, but she's not seen it. And she absolutely loved it. She was completely sucked in. And to watch it with her made me appreciate it all over again, because normally now I'm like, oh, I know it so well, I'm just going to nitpick a bit. It all looked cheese, you know, that sort of thing. But I just found watching her watch it and her enjoying it and her asking to watch more now, can we watch another one now, Mummy, please? This is terrific. I was just like, well, there you go. The writing's brilliant and the acting's brilliant. And I just found that this story is just, because it is one of the main ones that cemented my absolute love for Doctor Who. So this is up there for me as being an iconic story for me. And it might not be for a lot of other people, but for me, this is definitely up there as one of my gateway drug Doctor Who stories. And I just thought the whole idea of, you know, the populace rising and, you know, hopefully getting away, and the doctor just going, yeah, great, here you go, bye. That was a brilliant ending as well.
Well, there you go.
I wonder what Mary thought.
She didn't like it. What did she think of it last time, Kirby?
I believe she liked it because she won the quiz.
There you go.
Well, she sometimes won the quiz of ones she's not liked, so that's not always the case.
Well, we'll ask her next time she is a fan.
Yes.
No, sorry, she missed this episode, so we'll move on to another one. No, sorry, not having it. No, I'm trying to find my priority jingles folder. Here it is. There's the button there, because I've got to do some jiggery-pokery with my... Oh, damn, that's not it. Dang, what is it? Jingles and effects. There we are. Priority jingles. Oh, no, it's gone. That's the end of the show. We haven't got any priority jingles. Oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm filling here at the moment. Priority jingles, there they are.
Padding.
Yeah, filling. So, just hope Hayley Woodward isn't watching this particular sequence, otherwise I'll be getting some criticism. Oh, I just moved something I didn't want to move. Right then, here we go then. So I can do this. Here we go.
Hello, YouTubers and Podgrammers. This is Inkong.
Hey.
Hey.
State of Decay by Terence Dix. Doctor Who and the Space Vampires. I can promise you nothing, you understand? The TARDIS is a punch card reader. How quaint. We have all got to make sacrifices, but Adric gets rescued.
Yeah.
BBC does costume drama as well.
It does.
Even Hammer House of Horror style. Quite a good story. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
That was short.
Unusually brief from Ian. But still brilliant. Okay, let's see what else we can find. I've got really not much. Melinda sent me some lovely pictures. Now, he is trying to make a bit of a fuss of the release of the latest... Back. Do you mind, Debbie? the latest Doctor Who product that they are producing, which is the Doctor Who laptop bag. Oh, sorry, it's a TARDIS laptop bag, to be precise, which is ridiculously cool. And
I want that so much.
It's so cool.
40 quid well spent.
It's cool. I did post something of it, but I've got the official pictures here that he sent me via email. I might have to post them on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And indeed, if you are watching... Do you mind? If you are watching this particular thread, then you'll know and already be a member of the group. Yes, Kirby?
So you decided to skip over the rest of the feedback?
There isn't any.
Yes!
Go on, then. See how I lure him into that, Debbie. See
did
that?
Alan not,
that's
Alan,
ten, not nearly 10 years of podcast production that enables me to lure Kirby into covering bits.
Even Alan said that he sent something.
Yeah. I was trying to get you, rather cleverly, to do the feedback that came through on the Facebook
Well, I believe thing. that Debbie should read Laurie.
But I was just thinking... The amount of years you guys have been doing this, it should be flow a bit more better. So
I'm not pulling up Facebook because I'll start going.
Yeah, thank you. So Kirby should be reading it, as it's his request for feedback, and he should do the link anyway, simply because I was trying to feed him the chance to. Oh, I give up. 9 years, he still
Laurie
doesn't do
says.
It.
As a fellow creature of the night, I had to weigh in on this one. Playing card space vampires are cool, and so is pulling off a very atmospheric Hammer horror-ish adventure without actually ripping victims' throats out. It being a show for kids, after all. Yet this one just misses being great by not fleshing out these vamps in the actual plan for universal domination. Perhaps it suffers from being an episode too short. I blame the lack of room on eSpace. Overall, tons of style, but lacking substance. Much like the block of wood acting of vampire Zargo, a fabulously curled beard only gets you so far. To be fair, these baddies would pass muster posing at any goth club, so who cares if they never actually get on the dance floor. The special effects are equally cool and dreadful, the height of Hammer schlock on a budget. In this and the next story in the series, I really enjoyed the TARDIS crew's dynamic, even the annoying stowaway. Sadly, things are about to change.
Carry on.
Joshua says, I definitely enjoyed this first time round when I was 10. Anything with vampires did it for me. But rewatching it 40 years later, I don't rate it at all. Rather boring. Lots of cheesy, over-the-top acting. No, the cheese was on the plate, remember?
Ooh, very good, Kirby. Oh, I've missed the bell. You missed that one, sorry.
Plus dreadful special effects. I liked Full Circle, but was eventually glad when they left eSpace. Well, they're not going to be there that long. Sorry I haven't written in for a while, but I never miss a show. All the best to you. And Jeff said, responded to that, it wasn't even the eSpace bit that was a problem with this, really. This could have been on any old planet, and that's why it's so disappointing. A planet so dull they never even name it. Maybe it's called Milton Keynes?
Very good. That deserves a slightly louder than I expected it to be.
And Jeff also says, it's all incredibly dull, isn't it? Should be scary, and yet it's not. Even on transmission, I think I deliberately missed some episodes of this, only to catch them years later. And quite honestly, I needn't have bothered. Ooh. Well, that's Jeff for us.
So there you go, Deb, you're wrong. It's not very good.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that it?
Well, I completely changed my view of it. Have so you there.
I'm sure. I've got a funny feeling you might have said that before, Kirby, but maybe it's just deja vu. So that's that for that bit. There's no point doing the quiz because there's only two of you. Pointless.
Well, hopefully we've got something from Alan T. Butcher.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You're learning, Kirby. It takes a bit of time, but you are learning. That would be in your lap, Deborah.
Oh, good.
I thought she would have picked it up by now as well. I sent it to her a lot earlier than I normally send it to her.
I've got it.
I know.
The shortest.
It's going to be a short recording, yes, because we haven't got Mary to bring a little bit more of a sanguine attitude to it. So we'll just go boom, 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 boom.
I know he's going boom, 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 boom.
Maybe this one will be under 20 megabytes.
Oh, stop going on it. It's as long as it needs to be, Kirby.
That's the way it works.
That's what she said.
Sometimes they're 2 hours, sometimes 2.5, sometimes 40 minutes. We get our points across and we don't.
You're just trying. You're just padding at the moment. Just get on with it. Mr. Butcher's feedback. I'm going to release the handle in my chair.
Release the handle.
Release the hound.
Come on, then.
The wasting is the wasting, or forcing a no deal wasting, come what may. Dear 20 megabyters, State of Decay is, of course, a closely studied examination of a sociopathic abscess caused by the extreme application of conservative principles. It shows that the latent conservatism represented by the great one beneath their feet can pervade a society and draw people in, thereby becoming a malignant force in the lives of those people. By using the natural authority figures from the Hydrax, the Great One is able to set up a scenario in which the many are working hard, but the fruits of their labours are being siphoned off for the benefit of the few. It serves the conservative cause to suppress the development of new knowledge and the understanding of that from the past. Thereby, the proletariat are hindered in bettering their circumstances so that they can be exploited without being able to assert their own interests and effect change. Consonantal shift is obviously highlighted as a natural and irrepressible process of change to counterpoint to the underlying metaphor of suppressing progress being perpetrated by the hyper-conservative elite. It is clear that the ingrained hegemony is working towards the time when it is possible for the conservatism to be more openly espoused, despite its horrific nature. The Doctor realises that to defeat this evil, it is necessary to take the means it has appropriated and turn it against that force, here represented by the big vampire and the big pointy ship. It should be noted that while some would suggest that these villagers are rather pathetic and as bad as those in the Planet of the Spiders, actually these people can act. We also learn that the acrobatic sea devil that famously liked doing backflips escaped the slaughter of his kindred somewhere reasonably close to the Isle of Wight, only to end up in a mammalian disguise in eSpace, working in poor conditions for a big vampire. All in all, State of Decay is quite a beautifully well-constructed story in which, once again, the Doctor's main role is to work out what is causing the miserable situation which he finds and to come up with a way to make it better. The Doctor and Romana are on fine form, both from the actor's point of view and from the writing from the past master creator of Doctor Who story, the much missed Terence Dix. Their scenes with the middle management vampires are particularly finely realised. K-9 is outwitted by Adric here, perhaps the greatest ignominy perpetrated against him yet. Yeah. This story is perhaps two episodes too short, as who wouldn't want to hear a lot more about linguistic change and how it operates?
Next up,
Doctor Who and Minimalist Bipedal Lions, or How to Get Away with Incredibly Cheap and Fake Scenery. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Well, well, well. Sorry, you were about to say something then, Kirby?
No.
Oh, makes it strange. Well, there you go. Right then, where do we get up to? I've got some stuff coming through on the feed. Lillian Robbins said, or he is a time traveller between last week and this week, talking about my T-shirt. And then Laurie says, but you're wearing it backwards, so it's a new shirt. Like my pants. Yes, wear them inside out to get to the extra day's wear out of them. That is not, that doesn't happen, by the way. Jeff Wardle says, Lala Ward, hang on, I'm getting sort of bits that have come in and bits haven't. Lillian Robin, Alan's book title will be A Closely Studied Look at Doctor Who. I think he's probably already thought of that one.
I think it needs publishing.
Yeah, it does.
And then. Yeah. He can read it himself.
Yeah, I reckon. I hope he has done every story in the journey. And I hope we get a little bit of a subtext to it when it does get published, which it needs to be. It's got to be something.
Oh, absolutely.
It needs to be published once we get there, of course. Well, I think if somebody else has sent anything through. Cause sometimes I've got two pages open with the feeds. This seems to be up to date. So what I said was up to date. Now I'm going to change my mind on something because I think it'd be quite nice. Oh, God, I better check I've got the questions first, though. Just talk amongst yourselves. God. Hang on, I've got some appropriate music for this little bit.
It's because we're going short.
I can't even remember. It's from the days I actually entitled the stories. I may not actually have. Okay. Right, we can cut that bit of music out because I have actually got the questions. It's a straight one against one. Yeah, we do have a joker. It's the only thing we have in play on this particular story. We have a joker, and I got here my bell. So,
Spa Bell.
What?
It's Ma Bell, you know, as in AT&T, Ma Bell.
Right.
I guess it's an American joke.
Ha, 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 ha.
They used to call the phone company Ma Bell.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
No, I don't know it, sorry.
Right then, so Debbie, the first question goes to you because that's the order it comes up on the page. Right then, what...
intro music,
oh,
Adam.
Oh, yes, okay. Oh, welcome to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. I wasn't ready for it, so you won't get it. Here we go. So there you go. Sorry about that, Debbie, and thank you for the little heads up on that one. Don't get any extra points for it. But thanks. Anyway.
Oh, no.
First question indeed goes to Debbie, and it's this. What does Hebris announce at the beginning of the story?
Joker, that it's time for the selection.
I love the way Kirby says, I picked it. Debbie's going to win and doesn't get any points for it either way. Right, Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
What colour was the planet when viewed from space?
I haven't the foggiest. Debbie's going to win.
I don't remember, but was it red?
Yes, it was indeed red. 2 points in the bonus pot. It's 1 point in the bonus pot. Big pardon. 1 point in the bonus pot for this question. Who did Romana muse that the first vagrant they meet might actually be? This is a bonus pot question. Somebody's got to answer at some point.
No idea.
I haven't the foggiest.
OK. Okay, well, that stays in the bonus spot then. It was the Astronomer Royale. Royal.
Okay.
Debbie.
Yes.
What? So, hang on. What? It? Which? What the hell does that say? This is how it's written down. What? It? Which? Wriggler? Another word for? It should actually say what is which Wriggler? Another word for? So what is it then, Debbie?
Scientist.
I've got an itchy head. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
What is the name of the head man of the village?
I know.
I know you know, because I don't.
You don't?
Nope.
Okay, so, hang on.
Debbie wins.
Hang on. Right. Yeah, 2 points in the bonus spot, and Debbie is?
Ivo.
No, you said I know. That's. You said I know, and then you said Ivo. Make your mind up. And correct to laugh at that point. Well done. Debbie. Oh, yes. Sorry, no. 2 points in the bonus spot.
Right.
Right. For this question, what do the lords protect the villagers from?
I know.
Go on, Em.
The wasting.
Curious.
Explain it.
Right, Debbie, your question.
Yep.
What is K9's assessment of Adric?
Non-hostile, immature human.
All the words, right words, been the wrong order, but I can't not give you the points for that.
Okay, what was it?
Immature, humanoid, non-hostile.
Oh, there you go.
Well, Kirby. Obviously, Debbie has been studying under Yoda.
Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
Right. What item was Adric given as a gift?
The jacket.
Yay!
Oh, I actually got a point.
Yeah, should have played your Joker. Debbie.
Yes.
I wasn't sure.
What does the hungry Adric ask if they have...
cheese.
Yes, no point in reading the rest of that question. Kirby.
Master.
Where was Hydrax's original destination?
I'm not sure.
Ready?
Beta. Ooh, sounds like Isla fell out of bed. Beta 2.
Indeed.
You're right, Isla. Your books fell over. Okay. Right, come on.
1 point in the bonus spot for this question. Who is the Counselor of the Lords?
I think I know. Is it Orcon?
It is Orcon, yes. Debbie.
Yes.
What's the first thing the Doctor notices about the tower once he and Romana have arrived?
I know.
I think it's no windows.
Eh?
Is it no windows?
Kirby.
Master.
What does Romana take off before accepting a glass of refreshment from the Lords?
Joker.
Yeah.
Gloves.
Hooray. No points in the bonus spot. Back to Debbie.
Okay.
What is there nothing worse than, according to the Doctor?
I don't know.
All right. Kirby. Kirby. Kirby.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Then I can do this. Oh, if it'll let me. The answer was a peasant with indigestion. Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby. What did the Brothers Grimm also discover?
Is she there?
What?
It's your question, Kirby.
Oh, it's my question?
Yeah, that's why I said Kirby, Kirby, Kirby.
Oh, I thought you said Debbie.
No, I think there's a slight phonetic difference to Kirby and Debbie. Beg your pardon?
The law of consonantal shift.
Drift, but I'll give you that one. The law of continental drift. Right, then 2 points in the bonus pot.
Consonants.
Shut up.
Not continents.
Never mind. Bonus pot question. 2 points. After the Doctor and Romana were trapped in the throne room, what did the Doctor find, allowing them to explore the tower?
I know.
Yes, Debbie?
An inspection hatch.
Get it.
And it, technically, Romana found it.
Whatever.
Yes, Kirby. But then the Doctor claims the find.
Yes.
Right, so sorry, that was bonus, wasn't it? So, Debbie, I'm losing my plot with this. Right. What is the name of the village elder?
The village elder?
Yes.
I thought that was Ivo.
Probably not, but never mind. Anybody?
Nope.
No. Nope. Okay, so we do this.
What's its name?
The name is Kalmar.
Oh, that's the scientist guy. I didn't think he was in the village.
He's the oldest in the village. Right, points deducted for being disagreeable. That's annoying. Oh, dear, I pressed the wrong button. First time I've had to deduct points for ages. Amazing.
It's because I was right.
Yes. Whose question was that now? And another point deducted for...
Pardon? That was mine.
Right, so Kirby, your question. Got away with that one. What class of spaceship was the tower?
That's right. An Arrow class spaceship.
I'll give you that one. It's Arrow class scout ship, but I'll give you that one. Because I'm feeling generous all of a sudden. 4 points in the bonus pot.
You weren't generous a minute ago.
4 points in the bonus pot. Who did Doctor and Romana meet in the resting place?
I know.
Your name?
Orcon.
So I'm not sure Kirby could have got that
My
one.
My quote.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What does the Doctor say when Orcon says, "Welcome to my domain"?
He's glad to catch someone at home.
Oh, interesting. Right. Nope. Anybody?
Yeah, are we in time for a guided tour?
Well done.
Well, that's the second part of the second.
Why didn't you say the whole thing?
Whose question? That was who was that for? Now
that
I've lost.
Fine.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What has the Doctor never been a great one for, as he states in a conversation with Orcon?
I think I know.
Yeah, Kirby, I don't.
You don't know. Okay, so Kirby gets one of these, and Debbie gets the answer, which is
possibly. I don't know. Was it kneeling? Bay, something like that. Yeah.
No, swimming.
Swimming.
Swimming. Swarming. What's that? Swimming.
Swarming.
Yeah, that's swarming. It's not been a great one for swarming. Sorry. Right then. So that was Kirby's question. So 2 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. What is the third choice available to the Doctor?
I'm not sure the context.
Yeah.
Tough. I can't be bothered to wait 30 seconds.
No idea.
Right, so the answer was destroy the Great One. Okay. Was that a phone?
What were the first two?
Didn't say that. I wasn't interested in the first two. Right, who was that question for?
That was the bonus pot.
Right, so there's 2 more points in the bonus pot because I'm feeling really generous tonight. Debbie.
Really? Yeah. Yes.
How does Romana distract Orcon from taking over the Doctor's mind?
Doesn't she throw something at him?
Well, it needs to be what she throws, for goodness sake.
Oh, I don't know.
I know.
Kirby knows.
She throws a stalagmite.
I'll give you a point for that, even though it's not exactly right.
What do you mean?
Was it a stalactite?
No, it's a polystyrene stalagmite. That's what the answer is.
Actually, they went into a little bit in the making of documentary how that was a pretty cool shot with using CSL and having it break.
Okay.
As it hits Alcon.
Okay. Bonus spot. 6 points for this question. While the Doctor took the TARDIS route, which one did Romana take?
I know.
Go on, Em.
The Inner Sanctum.
Correct. I think Debbie knew that one. She's just playing. She's just being. What's the word for it? When you
lazy.
Can't. You can't. Pardon?
I'm being lazy.
Yes. That's one word for it. Wasn't the word I was thinking of, but that'll do.
Throwing the game.
Yes. Debbie, your yes. question. What were there 18,308 of according to K9?
I know.
No.
So you get one of these. And Kirby apparently knows.
He was going to list them in code order, the emergency instructions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my quotes.
And then the doctor's like, no.
Right, Kirby.
I keep spare quotes, you know.
Kirby.
Master.
What does the doctor print off on the TARDIS console?
The stuff, something of Rassilon.
I know.
There's a key
code
word in there. Say again.
I know. Code
of Rassilon,
the what?
Something like that.
No, you're missing the key word. Then, Debbie?
The Record of Rassilon.
Yes, it was a very famous tune by ABBA called Dancing Queen.
And they were printed on the computer cards of Rassilon.
Yeah, very good, Kirby.
The card
yes.
reader of Rassilon.
And you'll be getting the clip round the ear hole of Rassilon if you don't shut up and let me get on with this quiz. 2 points in the bonus spot. Who did the doctor tell K9 he needed to go and to get help? Who did the doctor tell K9 he needed to go for to get help?
Well, I think I know that one.
Go on, Em.
Is it the Rassel? Not Rassel. Is it Kalmar? Sorry.
Oh dear. Not what I've got written down. So therefore, we have to stick with.
I have no idea.
It was the rebels. Yes, that was one of the rebels, but not the answer.
It wasn't the rebels. No. Yeah, okay.
So that doubles the amount of points in the bonus pot. And we move back to Debbie.
Okay.
How long does the doctor tell the rebels they have got to free themselves of the evil?
What? Couple of hours. 3 hours?
Ooh! I'll give you that one, even though I went...
Give it to her.
Just in the nick of time, I think, there, Debbie. Yes, it was indeed. 3 hours. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What mode was K9 reconfigured into?
I've already used my Joker, haven't I?
Yes.
Aggression mode.
That's only one load of points, by the way. I was a nervous twitch that gave the second ding. 4 points in the bonus pot for this question. According to Walk-On, what is the purpose of guards?
I know.
Yes.
To die.
A bit like the guards in Star Trek, really, isn't it? The red shirts.
Yeah, the red shirts, yeah.
Okay, Debbie.
Yes.
Wait a minute. All right. Who had never heard the expression, what goes up must come down?
Adric.
Kirby.
Master.
How did the doctor sum up what eventually happened to the great lords at the end of the story?
I know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They went to pieces.
Yeah. A nice gross effect there. I thought that was brilliant.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What are the doctor's last words of the story?
You're going straight back to the Starliner. Yeah, right.
Kirby.
This doesn't happen.
Kirby.
Master?
Who composed the incidental music for State of Decay?
Patty Kingsland, of course.
And there's one last question, which is a free for all. And because it's the last question, I'll be very generous and put double points on it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, right.
The final question is this. Who was the fight arranger for State of Decay?
I can guess.
Go on, then.
Stuart Fell.
Oh, there we go. So, the final scores in a very basic edition of You Won't Get This One are... Well, one person had 30 points, the other person had 32.
Oh, my gosh!
The person who had 32 was Kirby!
Yay! That's not possible. I'm just
It's only because Deb threw a lot of the answers for the great quiz, which she perfectly well have answered, but never mind.
She threw the bits.
It would have been a draw if I hadn't been cheeky.
Oh, I'm still playing. That's that bizarre. So it's like, I've just closed it down. I was going to try and read some of the messages coming through on the Facebook feed, but unfortunately I opened it up and it started playing music. Isn't that weird? Oh, dear. When you're tired...
I've already updated the database with the winner.
Which is you, Kirby. You just had to say that, didn't you? When's anybody going to get to see this database, by the way?
I post a link to it every once in a while. Want me to do it again?
You can do. Just curious, you know. Right then, let's have a go back to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. Right, anything coming through? We've had quite a competition today, said Laurie. Jeff Waddle said in replying to Lillian, 16,000 pages long with a reference section the size of the Isle of Wight. I'm talking about Alan's book title. So, Doctor Who news. We got Doctor Who magazine issue 543. I mean, it won't be that long before we've actually done more episodes of the podcast, and they've been editions of Doctor Who magazine. And rather topically, it's got Tom Baker on the front cover wearing the Third Doctor's shirt. So he looks so much younger than he does in the episodes we're watching now. It's amazing, really. There's a competition, the Paul McGann years. Readers in the United Kingdom have a chance to win a copy of the latest DVD release from Real Time Pictures Archive. The Doctors, the Paul McGann years. There you go. Probably the shortest of all the Doctor Who things, but never mind. Terence Dicks a tribute by Candy Jar Books. That'd be quite a good one to get. Featuring Chris Achilios, John Levine, John Peel, Gary Russell, and many more. NYCC Doctor Who exclusive from Titan Merchandise of the two versions of the 13th Doctor, which are both quite good. Step into the Doctor's TARDIS with new Viva Cosmos. Oh, it's like virtual reality.
Is this whowon.co.uk?
Is it what?
Are we talking about whowon.co.uk?
You weren't really listening, were you, as I said at the beginning of the
posting,
link?
No, I was posting the link you asked me to post.
No, we're talking about... This is news. Doctor Who
okay.
News. Yeah. And then Freema Agyeman returns to Big Finish in Torchwood, Dissected by Tim Kirby. So good, good, good. Yeah. So there's a lot of Doctor Who news. Something sprung to mind. Oh yes, something came up on Facebook, which the whole family's eyes lit up and ears. I'm just going to see if I can get it up on Google.
That's what she said.
I only said that to see if you pick it up on that. Right. So I'm not going to say the title out because it would spoil it because I want to talk about it. Right. Oh, my thing's gone funny. Right. Here we go.
Well, that's what she said.
Right, so in December there's a convention in Wales called, rather topically, Wales Comic Con.
That's what she said for that.
Are you not listening, are you? I'm going to have to deduct points in the next quiz.
So what is this you're about to spout?
I just want to tell you about Wales Comic Con. Basically, all the things that come up.
That was a joke.
Be quiet. All
Wales,
the things.
Spout.
What? be quiet. All the things that come up on Facebook feeds, you know, you get some stuff that's quite boring. But suddenly, Wales Comic Con came up on the thread, and Deb was on the spot at it. And Deb is not a geek, a nerd, or anything like that. And suddenly her eyes lit up with the guest list at Wales Comic Con. So much so that I was even thinking of trying to get some time off to go to it. Isabella is absolutely desperate to go to it.
Of course she is.
Because this is the guest list for Wales Comic Con, some of which I've never heard of, so I'm not going to mention them. Matt Smith, David Tennant, Joe Keery, and that's one of the ones she really wants to see. Tom Welling.
Oh, Superman.
Really. Erica Durance, Michael Rooker. I don't know who that is.
Wait, you don't know who Michael Rooker is?
No, I didn't. Michael Rooker. The next one I didn't know. Be quiet. Rose McGowan's the one I don't know. She was in Charmed. Matthew Lewis, who's in Harry Potter. He played, what's his name again? The Nipper that falls off the broom, wasn't his name? I should know, but my head's gone blank. Anyway, moving on. I'm going for the guest list. Alex Kingston, Catherine Tate, Mark Shepherd, Aidan Turner, and that's one who Deb.
James Marsters.
That's who
Mark
Deb wants to see.
Wales Comic Con.
Deb wants to see Aidan Turner. She's hoping that he has his shirt off while he's there. Who else we got? Ahmed Best, who was...
wasn't he also in... what was...
Who are you talking about?
Aidan Turner.
He was in Poldark.
Besides Poldark, he was in something else.
The Hobbit.
Was it? Was he in The Hobbit?
He's Keeley in The Hobbit.
I haven't watched the blimmin' Hobbit films. Anyway, moving on.
He was in Being Human.
Yes, he was, yes.
Was he?
Yes, by a friend of the show. Toby Withhouse.
Is that a Doctor Who story? No, I know it isn't. I know it's not. Be quiet. All right, we've got Billy Gunn, Arthur Darvill, Sean Gunn. Who else we got here? Kyla Kennedy, Walking Dead. David Morrissey, David Bradley, Stanislav Janosvisky.
Oh, my God. They've got Jar Jar Binks.
Yes, I know. You're jumping ahead. I don't know how they can afford all these guests. They must have massive... a load of money coming in to afford these.
This is the only time it's ever getting held.
This is the one that I want to go and see. John Ross Bowie, who is in The Big Bang Theory and played Kripke. I'd really like to meet him. Yes, I know. I'd like to meet him. So many really cool guests, and most of them on a Saturday, which means, of course, I'd have to...
Sheila Reid
is going as well. Pardon?
David Bradley.
I just said that.
Okay.
Debbie, have a word with him, please.
Word.
Okay. But the guests, I mean, it's the Stranger Things actors that there's two of them, I think. One, I say Joe Keery. Who was the other Stranger Things one that? Because it came up on Isabella's timeline that another Stranger Things actor had been announced, and now I've said that I can't actually find it. But all you can say, it's an amazing lineup.
Who's this Grant Perkins guy? Says Doctor Who.
No idea. Hugh Carshy, he was in Doctor Who. He says Star Wars, but
Carshy was Grant Perkins was a writer and artist for Doctor Who Adventures comic strip.
Ah, there you go. So, as I was saying, amazing lineup. And
yes, how much is this gonna cost?
Well, it costs some money to get up to Wales for it. I don't even know exactly where. Oh, it says the International Centre's Telford. So I don't know where Telford is. Where's Telford, Deb? You don't know. Thanks.
But
I thought you were intellectual.
I'm not intellectual. I'm not good at geography.
Let's see.
So I'm just going to...
Where is this being
Telford.
Held?
I just said that. Does he actually listen to what I say? I don't think he does. He's so busy interrupting, he doesn't actually listen to what I'm saying.
No, I heard you. Spell it.
T-E-L-F-O-R-D. Telford.
No, actually, you spell it I-T, but still.
He's so funny, Kirby. I don't know how we cope. My side splits so much. Well, Telford's a long, long way away. It's in the Midlands.
Let's see.
It's quite a long way away. It's probably about 4 hours' drive, actually, because it's just north of Birmingham, but in Wales.
Birmingham.
But yeah, it could be worth going to, I think. The photo ops for people like David Tennant.
Loads of my friends are going up.
The photo ops for people like Matt Smith and David Tennant are quite expensive.
205 miles.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
That's quite some way on crap roads.
So I'd have to go probably about 5 a.m. on 5 a.m. ferry to get up there for when it opens, or as near to when it opens as possible. But yeah.
Yeah, it says from Cowes it'll take 4 and a half hours.
Yeah, but that's, we're talking about from Southampton, because I don't really count the bit from Cowes, because you've got to go over ferry first. So there you go. That's Wales Comic Con, which looks really fantastic.
Google Maps says this route includes a ferry, so I guess they...
£50 for a photo op with Aidan Turner. £35 for Alex Kingston, so... Yeah. Oh, exciting. I'd love to go to that. Isabella,
don't you remember when
go.
We spoke with Toby that the geek daughter had questions dealing with being human?
Vaguely.
Yeah, because she really liked being human.
Well, I like being human, but you know, I don't go on about it. I think it's just one of those things. That...
I'm an alien.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. see, anything else?
I was at Area 51.
Right then. So we now, after talking about Doctor Who news, can move on to Lavazzi.co.uk, because I want to talk about a specific product that Lavazzi have just released.
That you've already talked about.
I don't care. I'm talking about it again.
Good, because it's cool.
It's so cool. It's the Doctor Who TARDIS laptop bag.
I have never wanted a Doctor Who bag more.
It's £40, but it's a good quality niche item, and buy it, because it's I think they're going to sell out, to be fair. I mean, I could do with a laptop bag, really, but I'm quite a messy person, so I tend to leave things in a bit of a mess. I must post the pictures on the group page, but he's actually said, I'm contacting you about the release of the official Doctor Who TARDIS laptop bag. Please find press release information, blah, 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 blah. And you can also go and find the product at lavazzi.co.uk, where you can also find all the other amazing
items. I just posted a YouTube video about it.
Did you? Well, you didn't. I thought you did. Sorry.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did. You changed your mind again. You have now done that. So, yes, that's what you want to get from Lavazzi now before it's too late. And whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
whowon.co.uk. All right. So what we got coming up, because I say people are starting to think of Christmas, Emissary of the Daleks by Andrew Smith, or somebody. Have you heard of him?
No, never heard of him.
Harry Houdini's War, Legacy of Time, Serenity, and War Master 3, Rage of the Time Lords. So lots of Big Finish items available from whowon.co.uk. Latest products, 8th Doctor Further Adventures of Lucy Miller 1 and Lives of Captain Jack 2. Oh. Doctor Who collector's items. You got books like The Face of Evil, The Time and the Rani, Dalek Master Plan 2, Mutation of Time, Battlefield, stock number T3000. Battlefield, that is pretty a cover by Alistair Pearson as well. So there's lots of Target novels in their sort of... collectors sort of cover versions, you know, like I say, lots of which have been illustrated by Alistair Pearson. So according to the First Doctor Handbook, I can't believe these books are still out. Alistair does on all these covers, one of which I think is the Sixth Doctor Handbook, which is my initials are actually on the cover of that one, I believe, me and Deb's initials. Obviously. What's the matter, Deb? Not you, like, the other Deb.
Fantastic. No, I know my name's not on it. I knew it's the other Deb, honestly.
Yeah, I did too.
You did too, did you? Oh, I did three.
Oh, dear.
So, next time, we're going to be looking at a story called Warrior's Gate. Now, Warrior's Gate sees the departure of two well-known Doctor Who companions, I suppose you call them, and sees the beginning of the end of the Fourth Doctor. It leads into a couple of stories that is essentially the end of the Fourth Doctor. Yes?
Okay, I'm just looking at the dates of our podcast that we did before. Yeah, we did Warrior's Gate about 2 months after we did State of Decay.
Yeah, it was a quick couple of, we did a few where we did the choice, the random generator, and we were all like, yes, we've got to watch this one.
Well, at the moment, we're up for next week, which is the 29th of September. There's also a possibility that on the 6th of September, I might be lagging behind a bit because I've got a customer trying to arrange a photo shoot for that day. But it doesn't mean to say we won't have the podcast. It just means we might be doing it a bit later than we normally
do. I won't
be
able to podcast on Sunday the 20th of October because I will be in Malta.
Show off.
I believe I also will not be able to podcast on that same date. Let me double check.
What, the 20th?
The 20th of October, I think. Let me see.
Right, we're definitely doing one then.
I think it's the next week.
Oh, for God's sake.
Wait.
No.
No, it's the 27th of October. I will not be available because I'm going to be seeing a silent movie, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, well, I don't want excuses. Well, I can't look that far ahead anyway. I'm talking about the next couple of weeks. At the moment, the diary is fairly free for every Sunday up to the 24th of November, which is the birthday of She Who Must Be Obeyed. Although it might be the case that we could do the show anyway on that day because we might be in. I don't know. But at the moment, because it's She Who Must Be Obeyed's birthday, we're probably not going to. And the week after that is a Gillian Cartwright dance show, which I have to film. But most Sundays are pretty free and available. There's nothing on at the moment. All the Sundays, all the way through for the foreseeable future. And bearing in mind that we're no longer in the realm of the six-parter, that the podcast is more likely to be a bit more regular.
Yay.
And like I've alluded to before, if, and it's a long way off, could be a couple of years, if we move into the new Who era, we'll be doing two episodes per episode. So if it's two-part story, then it'll be the one story. If it's a one-part story, it'll be two stories.
That's fine, because we've already done them all in order once anyway.
Well, we've actually done every story proper since the Angel story, the first Angel story, which was what was that one called? First Angel story. I can't remember. Anyway, that's when we started the podcast. So I don't know where something in my mind tells me to stop the episode before we get there, because we've done it all.
Yeah, just finish it. So the first Angel story. What this is?
Yeah, I'm talking about. So Matt Smith's first story. And then they did the one in the sort of giant whale thing, didn't they?
The
space whale. And then it was the River Song story, which is the Angels one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why I don't know that name.
What, Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone?
Yeah.
That's it.
That brings us full circle. Full circle.
February 21st, 2011, episode 43. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about episode one. Do you want to go back and look at episode one?
All it says is introduction.
Or as pilot. Is it not?
Yeah, and then episode two was Amy's Choice.
Oh, for goodness sake. Right, I'm going to have to research this now, thanks to you. The 20 megabyte Doctor. I'm trying to do this one out. That's not a Doctor. Doctor Who.
I have the official list.
No, you don't. I have the official list. I have the official list, actually. So, podcast episode 1. Oh, that says 12. Oh, that's not how you spell megabyte. Let's move that in there. Right, here we go. Episode 1. I'll come up with episode 100, though. It's not coming up with the one I look at. I have another way of doing it.
Yeah, you did.
What, you're trying to prove me wrong, are you?
No, you're always right, except
Enemies right.
Twice, then Hungry Earth, and Cold Blood, then Missing the Doctor.
Okay, have a listen to this. Have a listen to this. You're so impatient.
Yeah, hang on, Kirby.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 1, and I am here with... This is Adam, by the way. And I'm here with my co-assistant for today, Alicia.
Hi.
Don't worry, she doesn't always talk like that.
Thanks.
And without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Woohoo.
You get the catchphrase.
Yeah.
Straight in there with a catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so pleased the way I went forward of that one. Get on with it. Right then. Also, we've with the new podcast, have a nice new state-of-the-art studio.
Apparently,
oh, shut up. I can't be listening to him going on about state-of-the-art studios and stuff like that. I just want to know what's actually in the episode. Maybe then episode two might be a bit more. What?
Episode two was Amy's Choice.
Well, Amy's Choice was a bit further on, wasn't it?
I put this together several years ago.
Did you? Did you have not a lot of time on your hands at the or was it too much time?
I had too much time.
Too much. Oh, damn, I've just opened up an iTunes. Oh, that good old cock up that was. Oh.
You don't go that far back in iTunes.
Hang on, this I do. That's the reason why we have a podcast, because I was able to get it in iTunes. The previous one, Dr. Whovian, didn't even make it to blimmin' iTunes. No, I've owned iTunes.
Well, the RSS feed doesn't go back that far. I've got to go into Podbean.
I think you'll find if you go to episode one. Oh, yeah, Podbean, yes. That's right. Podbean does that.
Are we going to be losing listeners because of this?
Yeah.
No, they're fascinated to know the history of the show. Thank you very much. Yes, we still have listeners. Oh, now iTunes has opened up again.
Yeah, you can skip this bit.
That was your fault, that was. Right, I've shut up iTunes. Yeah, I think we still have listeners. There's some people that are absolutely enthralled to hear about the history of this show. Thank you, Kirby. Oh, I would be. Someone left my calendar open. I didn't want that. And someone's left Google Maps open. I'll get rid of that. And, oh, someone's left open the scores. Get rid of that.
That'll be you.
Yeah.
And I've lost the page I had that had all the files in it I wanted.
It's hard. The search doesn't work in Podbean anymore.
No, it doesn't, does it? That's very naughty of Podbean. What do you think, Kirby?
Well, talk to them about it.
Okay. Yeah, so episode two, I'm not going to bother playing that. Right, so our listeners
Amy's Choice.
What? Amy's Choice. Okay, so therefore, what you were saying, what's the story before Amy's Choice? Then that was a...
I have it listed as introduction.
What?
I've got that story listed as introduction.
Maybe it is then. You'll have to go and listen to it and see what the content is, apart from me and Alicia talking nonsense. I beg your pardon?
Oh, that didn't work quite right.
Anyway, enough of all that nonsense. That was only a thought I had, that we would have come full circle. I guess it's full circle. But, on the other hand, I'm not sure we've done a second time on a lot of the new Who stuff. And also, as a group, we haven't actually continued the story. I've never done, as far as I know, apart from with Alicia, the full journey all the way through to the current stuff. So, I mean, when Alicia and I did it for the show... it stopped during the Tennant era, so you know it's that was a long time.
Master.
And we didn't do the stories that were missing either. This is the first proper full journey I've ever done, so we'll probably end up continuing. Yes, Kirby.
Starting on January the 9th, 2012, we started with Rose and did them all in sequence up to let's see. Let's see. God. We made it.
Yes.
Looks like we made it through Unicorn and the Wasp, possibly further.
Okay, we've only done them once. That's good then, right then.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Laurie Nix has nodded off there for a sec. What did I miss?
Yeah.
So I was just trying to, just padding things out. What time is it? Oh, half past eight. I think it's time to end the show, really. Anyway, so like I say, next time is Warrior's Gate. We plan to do it next week, but you know how life goes sometimes. But the plan's there. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. If it does, it does. But that's what we're planning to do. We're planning to be a bit more regular. We are taking those tablets for more regularity. So, I've just closed the place down. So, anyway, thanks for listening, watching, and taking part in the show, those that bother to do so. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye, bye. Fancy Pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.